Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello? Oh, well, actually, no. Konnichiwa from Japan. We are exactly where you'd expect to find us, in an Italian restaurant in... Where are we?
We are in Osaka, Shinsaibashi in Osaka. We are about to get a train and an airplane to go to Okinawa.
That's right. So in the time it's taken me to order a pizza, the chef to cook a pizza, me to eat it, me to drink two coffees, Phil's finally showed up. So what was going to be... I own 40 minutes of chat is now condensed into 10 max.
Listen, I'm on my holiday. I want to relax.
How are you feeling this morning, mate?
I'm feeling a little bit hungover. We just had Saturday night in Osaka. Not many Saturdays left, as a wise man once said.
Fridays.
And we had a very, very good time last night, but it does mean that we're both a little bit ropey today. But our time last night was made all the better because of the Japan Island game, which I'm sure we will get into in a minute.
Yeah, so I think it's important to know probably the best thing about Japan is, I'm glad it's only us two here, because I don't think Tim Cocker would have enjoyed it one bit.
Oh, not his scene.
It's not his scene.
Not his scene.
So, yeah, let's just get it straight. A remarkable game.
So, a brilliant game. Possibly my favourite game so far that I've watched from an upset point of view. Obviously it's the biggest game, but from a spectacle and from the quality of rugby that Japan had to play in order to break down what is a brilliant Irish defence, what very, very well structured Irish defence. Schmidt and Farrell have got them super organised, super physical, and Japan matched them in that regard and were able to break them down, which not many other teams can do.
I propose this question: is this a more substantial win than the Springbok victory last World Cup?
Oh,
and if so, why?
It's a good question. So maybe. This shows. So it shows the way that the Japanese team have built.
Yeah.
And not just so that there's lots of things interesting in the last World Cup about them. So their scrum, they did not have a strong scrum, but they had a smart scrum.
Yes.
So they were the hooker. In the last World Cup. Yeah. Not a strong scrum, but a smart scrum. So they were striking the ball really quick to get it out there as fast as possible, because they knew if they hold it in there any longer, they will get physically dominated. Whereas now they have moved on from that position. So now they are smart, but they've also got that backup of strength behind them. And scrum's one example. But the number of times where Ireland tried to turn on their power game.
Yes,
and
they
tried to get Kian Healy and Ty Furlong and CJ Stander. They tried to get those boys running hard and over the gain line. And Japan were both smart because they were targeting the runner and getting off the line really fast. But they were also very physical because they were putting them down at source. And that movement on that, so that transition or growth of the Japanese team is incredible to see. So maybe on that, I hadn't kind of concluded a thought prior to this, but on that, maybe this is more significant because we saw that they can mix the physicality with anyone in the world, but they have got the cutting edge to beat anyone in the world.
Yeah, I've got to say, the South game was more of a shock.
Yes.
Maybe it's more of an achievement because there was some expectation, but we didn't know about this. So, like, we've seen Japan play multiple times. nothing has suggested in the recent history that they could do it. We've seen them play England at Twickenham when they got battered, basically.
For the first 20 minutes, they were the better team, though.
Yeah.
So they've shown it in patches, but this was an 80-minute...
Put it together when you need to put it together.
And this was an 85-minute performance.
Without any... they've... what was the last Tier 1 game that they played? Doesn't matter, but they lost.
yeah.
So, in that... now, from Ireland's point of view, I'm pretty sure... they sort of approached the game and they thought, yeah, we sort of have a game in the plan. We sort of give them respect. Yeah, we'll play Jack Carty. Oh, look, we kind of think they might be weak out wide. Scored two tries, and that might have been the worst thing that they did. Because as soon as they scored those two tries, it almost felt like, oh, yeah, job done. This will be inevitable now. And they just stopped.
And it wasn't. Well, it's very interesting. So I've spoken before about Ireland's lack of cutting edge when the pressure comes on. And Six Nations this time around, we saw it in the Italy games. Actually, I could be the best example of this year, because they got the 4-try bonus point, but they really had to grind it out. And so Japan, when the pressure was on, their handling
is probably right. The best handling I've seen.
Years. But Japan, when the pressure came on, they could execute those handling skills out wide. Ireland, when the pressure came on, the most disappointing thing was they went into this attempt at a power game. So it's one out rugby, it's big ball carriers, but they were failing to make the gain line, and not. It was almost like they didn't have an out when the pressure came on, and that's something that Schmidt had. They have to look at.
Well, they sort of showed up with their plan B, didn't they? Which all those crossfield kicks.
Mm.
And for whatever reason it is, they thought, we'll stop that now.
We've done it enough.
Yeah, we've got our two tries, and now we'll play rubbish rugby. Did they score in the second half even? I'm not sure that they did, thinking back about it.
No, probably not.
Yeah. Where do you stand on Joe Smith blaming the referee? Not blaming the referee, blaming it on penalties. He's probably right on that, but...
So, blame
two different things. There.
Yeah. There is your own team's failure to be disciplined and give away penalties, which definitely affected Ireland.
So,
there were times when there's one in particular I remember where Conor Murray makes a tackle in midfield, and he in my mind looking at it, he's deliberately trying to slow the ball down.
Yeah.
And he gets pinged for it.
Yep.
And he rightly gets pinged for it, because it's a stupid thing to do.
There were some stupid things.
When the referee, Angus Gardner, he was on top of the Ireland boys. Let's put it like that. He was not letting them get away with anything cynical or stupid on the floor.
Yeah.
And they didn't learn. They didn't switch on to it and neaten up their game around the ruck.
So prior to this World Cup, I'm guessing the Ireland camp, because they are so professional, would have had a big list of what they expect to get out of each game. And it would surprise me if you look at Japan Ireland, they were targeting a bonus point. So based on Ireland getting a bonus point, is this a success for Ireland?
but you take it before the game, bonus point away at Japan. Away at Japan is a tough place to go.
If you just told Joe Smith, I'm not going to tell you the score, Joe, but
got the bonus point in the bag.
Yes, I will.
And that's a great way to lead on to the decision that was made by Joey Carberry at the 82nd minute.
I can only assume he did not know the time.
So I am 100% with that. Now, I've seen an interview with him this morning where he has said, I didn't want to risk trying to go 100 metres and conceding another try and losing the bonus point.
Really?
Losing the bonus point. Now,
he might be right. He might actually be right.
So looking back at it, I think it's... Looking back at it with that perspective, I think it's a sensible decision. Because I don't think...
Because they could only have drawn, couldn't they?
Yeah, so they could only have drawn. But a draw is important because you're taking points off Japan as well as getting points for yourself. So a draw is important. But some of those boys were absolutely out on their feet. James Ryan's last three or four carries were not... He basically just fell over. James Ryan is such a good player. But he was knackered. He was absolutely spent. And I think there is no way that they actually could have gone the 100 metres. So I think there was much more likelihood of Japan scoring and taking away. But I don't think that's what Calabrese's decision was at the time. And the reason I say that was, if he was just going for to kick it out to end the game, he would have kicked it behind him or straight out.
Yeah.
He went for a 50-yard kick and only just... He made the almost the halfway line, but he almost didn't make that. And he would never have kicked it like that if his logic was, we are going to end the game here.
No, you're a very thoughtful man, Phil.
Sometimes.
Have you called all your Irish friends just to see if they're okay? Because it must be a difficult time for them.
Right now. I haven't spoken to any of my Irish friends. I spoke to a very nice Irish chap, Joseph, in a bar last night, and he was so magnanimous, and he was very, very clear that the better team won.
Yeah.
And he was right.
It wasn't a lucky win.
No,
it was clear cut.
It was. I cannot say how much Japan deserve that, because they played so well.
Okay, so looking forward now, Japan have obviously got Scotland. In some ways, Japan's win was worse for Scotland than it was Ireland, because I still think Ireland will qualify because they've got the head to head. What does Scotland need to do now to make sure that they go through? Obviously, beat Japan, but what else?
Beat Japan, lots of bonus points. And tries in their games versus Russia and Samoa, and that's it. They've got to beat Japan. They've got to beat Japan, and they've got to winning bonus points.
So one of two things can happen, or well, actually multiple things, but I'm going to talk about two of them. Right? Ireland go through, Scotland go through, and Japan will be only the second team in history to get that many wins and not go through. The previous team was also Japan right?
In 2015.
Or by some miracle, maybe Ireland go out in the group stages. Now, I'm not hoping for that. No one hopes for someone to go out in the group stage. But my word, that'd be some story.
Yeah. I think Ireland are going to get through. I think they've got enough. Although I would be concerned, as I mentioned it before, but just their lack of cutting edge when the pressure came on. So now that they have to play Russia, they have to play Samoa, they have to get bonus point wins, but the pressure is on them. And do they revert to that? The attempt at power game, which Russia played very well. They've got a physical pack. And Samoa, we know about their power game. So the power game is not necessarily the way that you're going to get 4-try bonus points against these two teams.
And Samoa will be getting better.
Every
time they play, they will be getting better.
If they have any players left from their own concussions, or their own self-inflicted concussions, or self-inflicted sighting panels, they will be getting better.
They've got a little bit excited having the Samoans this World Cup.
They're
an excitable bunch.
So there are so many games since we last recorded a podcast, which seems like so long ago. The last time that you and Tim alone recorded a podcast,
because we're great guys,
on Tuesday. So obviously you've got the Samoa comfortably in the end beating Russia.
Yep.
34-9, although it did take, Russia were right in the game until 60 plus minutes.
Yeah.
Shall we briefly touch on, shall I read out some results and you give me a couple of thoughts?
I'll redo a result.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Is it Sale?
17-36. Whose score was that?
It's not Sale versus...
It was Sale versus...
No.
First ever victory at Alliance Park. But listen to this, right? Do you know any of these people? And also, check out this. One, this is Saracen's team sheet. One, Ralph Adams Hale. Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, he played towards the end of last season.
Okay. Number two, the hooker. Josh. Someone.
Josh someone.
It doesn't matter, we'll come back to him. Number three, John Kapoku.
I'm certain that the twins are both second rows.
I'm certain, but here he is. He's a set three with Callum Hunter-Hill at four and Callum Clark at five. So actually, this actually looks like it happened.
With all the action that's gone on in the last week, that people want to hear about, they want to hear your opinion on. I think maybe bottom of that pile is the starting tight five for Saracens in a Premiership Cup game against Sale.
And last thing on this, as you asked, Bevan Rod, the loose head for Sale, watch out for this kid. 19 years old, last week, broke the line with ease, threw an offload. This week, Steve Diamond started him. Watch out. I think that this kid's in for a big, big future.
Now, we were at a game, JB.
Which one?
We were at a game where you got to see your beloved Eddie Jones.
Yeah, now, before we talk about those games, I want to just add this, which is, how good is Eddie... I mean, I've got lots of knocks on Eddie Jones, but how good is Eddie Jones as an ambassador for the game in Japan? People love him.
People love him. He is on adverts for coffee and sandwiches and
ramen,
all ramen. Yeah, so he... But have you seen any of his interviews? So I've been trying to watch as many as I possibly can of the post-match interviews, which World Rugby are brilliant at putting up.
Yeah.
So they're available. Him flipping from English to Japanese,
yeah.
And he's very apologetic about his Japanese. It sounds pretty bloody good to me. that is seriously impressive.
Yeah, so what I like most about Japanese so far is the words Sumisen. Which is excuse me, right?
Sumisen.
So, excuse me doesn't work too much here, but you say Sumisen, it's like you've put 10,000 volts through the staff. You know, they'll stand to attention and swarm the table. Sumisen is a wonderful word.
So we had a traditional Japanese, I'm going to call it an offal, a 10-course offal meal.
Delicious.
So 10 courses, mostly... what we would consider to be bad cuts of meat.
When was this? Where was I?
It's last night, when you were trying to watch the Liverpool game with our good friend Jack.
Ah, right, okay.
So the food ranged from... The food was like a Kweku per fly half performance.
Oh.
There were moments of absolute sensational magic, and there were also moments where you thought... Hang on a minute, what the hell is going on right here?
Talking of which, I met Quade Cooper.
We both did.
Oh, did you meet him too?
I was there.
Did you think as I did, what stood out for me about Quade Cooper? Enormous hands.
But you said it didn't strike me at the time, but he's quite a big boy.
He's quite tall, but his hands are like shovels.
Yeah.
And he seems quite nice.
So that, that
he
was
talk to us, but you know, he seemed quite nice.
So that was after the England game.
Yes, England game.
Yes.
So England, I'm not impressed. I'm still not impressed.
What would they have had to do to impress you? So they got two bonus point wins.
Yep.
They almost nilled USA.
Yep.
And it was a basic handling mistake with seconds left on the clock that led to the USA try.
It wasn't one mistake. It was like a compilation of lots and lots of mistakes. All in one. I mean, that passenger play was very, very lucky. But it seems like, luckily for USA, they had all of their luck in one 30-second period. So, yeah, I don't blame England for that try, but they're just not very cohesive.
But, well, USA had virtually no scoring opportunity apart from that.
Yeah.
The USA had so little territory and so little possession, because England were certainly dominant on those two accounts. And it... I don't think it was a particularly amazing England performance. There were moments of magic, like the Jonathan Joseph dummy and spin.
Jonathan Joseph was the best player on the park.
Yeah. There were multiple moments of magic, but overall, I felt satisfied as an England fan.
I'm having the water.
I felt satisfied as an England fan, and I felt I was pleased because it was a step in the right direction. It was not a perfect all round. It was not a perfect all round
performance. But it should be a step in the right direction.
It should be.
Four years now.
It should be a step. You don't want to peak too soon. You don't want
to. Nonsense. You want to be continually getting better.
And England got England got better. It was better than. Was it not better than the Tonga game?
Marginal. I mean, I don't think. Like, my point would be: look at Wales versus Georgia in the first half. And that is a very, very good, well-drilled team. You look at it, you go, yeah, they look sharp. You never feel that about England.
But going on to the Wales game, you cannot say the same thing about Wales in the second half.
No, you can't.
Wales' first half performance, they exploded out of the blocks. They were clinical, and they were decisive.
Yeah.
in the second half, they genuinely struggled. They struggled to match the physicality. And actually, which is unusual for Wales, because they are normally the fittest team on the park, they seem to tire. Now, having done a...
They seem to get complacent.
Having drank a lot of beers in high heat and high humidity over the last 4 days, I'm not surprised. It is hard work operating at that level for long periods of time in this heat and this humidity.
It's not that humid. Everyone gets it. It's not that humid.
It is humid. It's from what I've seen. It's over 80% humidity, and you feel the how kind of stifling the air is. So two of us, JB unfortunately couldn't make it. But two of us went on a mid-range bike ride yesterday, about 60 kilometres. About 60 kilometres.
I was in an air-conditioned Irish bar.
Yes.
As you do when in Rome.
And after 2 kilometres, I looked at my good friend CJ's back, and it's like he jumped in a swimming pool. It was totally, totally dredged. And it's been referenced in commentary about handling mistakes and teams making more handling mistakes than you would expect, because they are so greasy.
Yeah.
Because people, if you are performing that level, you are drenched in sweat, totally, totally drenched in sweat, and the handling mistakes do result from it. And this is, so people are now talking about the home advantage for Japan, and it actually possibly is because of that. They are more used to operating in these conditions than almost any other team in the world.
Now, there was one more team that I want to speak of, because we were lucky enough to see them. Not in the flesh, but, of course, me in an Irish bar whilst we were cycling up a hill. Did you catch any of Argentina?
No, but that game was on in Osaka.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I could have actually gone physically to that game.
You could have physically gone to that game. We were on the train with a bunch of boys, some big Argentine slabs of beef, big old boys in Jaguares and Argentina tops, on the train to pick up our bike for the cycle.
So you organised this trip. Why didn't I go to that game?
You could have done. I just wanted to cycle. I wanted to attack the hills around Osaka.
So having seen them now, here's what I would say. I'm no massive England fan, as you well know, but I'm very, very much more confident of England's chances of going through.
More confident of England's chances.
I am. And the reason being is, you watch Argentina play, and they're so formulaic. I mean, you're watching, they're almost doing things because they think it's the right thing to do, rather than it is the right thing to do.
Playing what's in front of them.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got these little pods of three, everything's on the back. You're like, yeah, that's just, you know, basically what Premiership teams do. There's nothing interesting about how they play, except for their individual talent. They've got some more obviously talented, like De La Fuente or Orlando. Like, these boys can really play.
Yeah,
but they always seem stifled by the systems that Argentina put in place.
It's interesting you say that. So I didn't see that game yesterday. But Ledesma is held in very high regard as a coach.
Well, as a scrimmaging coach, certainly.
Certainly, but as a head coach now. But I think from what I've seen in the past, they do, and the Jaguares, which is basically Argentina, particularly since they didn't take Herrera and Issa and Cordero, is basically the same team. And they were very good. They were so well drilled that they could beat most teams on the day, but when it came down to it, and when it came down to trying to match the Crusaders, they just didn't have that cutting edge to break them down. So tell me this. So I'm not seeing the game, but I've seen the scoring patterns of this game. And Argentina had the winning bonus point, 4-try bonus point after 26 minutes.
Yes.
So how much of that was they did exactly what they needed to do, and they thought, look, our next game is in 7 days' time, and it is the big one. It's a must-win game against England.
I'll let you into a secret. I missed the first half. Because everyone thinks Japan is a technologically advanced country. Incorrect. Two things that it misses. ATMs, which are, you know, the basic gold dust.
In 7-Elevens and convenience stores, family marts, ATMs in all of them.
Fine. And number two, daytime drinking. Not big daytime drinkers. So you can't find a bar for love nor money unless it's an Irish bar.
Of course.
Of course.
Are you into your daytime drinking?
A little bit. No. Like now and again. So I missed the first half. So I couldn't tell you exactly how good they were to start with. But I thought the second half, they weren't. You know, they were sort of like, maybe they were going through the motions a bit. But they just seemed like their structure was inhibiting them being the best team that they could possibly be. I still think they can beat England. I think it's going to be close.
They can.
I'm much more confident about England's chances now.
They can beat England. They definitely can beat England. So in my head, they beat England 2 or 3 times out of 10. England win probably 7 or 8 out of 10.
I just can't.
England could easily lose both those next two games against Argentina and against France, but the probability in my head tells me that the chances are they win at least one and should win two, but not. It's not guaranteed.
So I can't get away from this point about England, but their biggest weak spot in my mind is scrum half. Now, if Hines plays, fine. If Young's plays, every time I look at the opposition, including someone like Tonga, you think, actually, they might have, the opposition might have a better night, and I just can't really get away from that. And what's his name? Cabelli.
Thomas Cabelli.
Thomas Cabelli. They're a magnificent night.
Yeah. But do you think there's a chance that Eddie Jones will go for Hines, or is Young's his first choice? And also on that same question, so George Ford, man of the match performance.
Yep.
He has looked very, very good, not just in this game, but for some time, actually. Yep. Owen Farrell started on the bench. Do you think we will see Farrell move to 10? Do you think we'll see Farrell and Ford? Do you think we'll see Ford, Tuilagi Slade, Ford, Tuilagi Joseph? Like, where would you go? Where would you put it? And where do you think Eddie Jones will put it?
If Eddie was smart, he would listen to me. And you go Ford, because he is the boy. And you've got to have Tuilagi in there, because that's how he can play. They need some sort of game line presence. But the man who is the straw that stirs the drink, Jonathan Joseph has to play. Jonathan Joseph has to play, even if it means playing Manu
at 12.
Rather than 13.
And Manu has played very little at 12.
Yeah.
The 12s that Eddie Jones has got at his disposal are Owen Farrell, who's also your first choice, 10.
No, thank you.
And Piers Francis. Yeah, which does that, just saying that out loud makes me nervous that those are your two primary options at 12.
Yeah, it's not really good enough, is it? I mean, Owen Farrell will play because he's the captain. It means you need Ford, who's one of the most creative players on the planet, on the bench.
But does your captain always have to play? So Japan yesterday, I was very surprised to see Michael Leach drop to the bench, but when he came on. I know he picked up a shoulder knock late on, but when he came on, he just added that extra bit of physicality just as you felt the Japanese team might be starting to dip.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to not answer that question because we're having looks from our friends here who want to know why are we podcasting and not getting on the rapid transit system in Japan, because we need to go to Okinawa now.
We do. We need a nice relaxing couple of days in Okinawa.
God, it's stressful. A mini holiday inside your holiday is always what you need. Right, so we're going to leave it there, and I guess Tim will do some bits, you know, either side of this.
Tim will presumably give you the full team sheet for Saracens versus Sale in the Premiership Rugby Cup.
Yep.
And lots more interesting points, because we've been drinking heavily for several days and we've missed a lot of action.
We have. We've gone to Japan, not to watch any rugby, have you seen?
I've watched far less rugby in Japan than I watched in England.
In work.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's that. Over to you, Cocker.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.